And yes, it's been a great weekend. We had a great one-on-one. And this subject of honoring God is a good one. Like I said to Ethel, like, you know, when Sangeet mentions it, you know, people don't like to have the conversation, but Sangeet says, let's have the conversation. Because we want to be clear in those areas so we know our heart is pure, we know what we're being taught is pure and is from God. It's not a gimmick to make someone to give money. It's got to be something from the heart, just like when Solomon, you know, when God gave him the request of his dreams, you know, he went and made 1,000 burnt offerings, you know. His heart was liberal to God. And then when we think of David, when he gave to the work of the temple, he gave, in today's money, billions. In today's money, that is. You know, so this honoring God is very beneficial, and it's always to profit you first. God has set it up to bless us as first, you know. And it's also an act of the heart, and it's also a worship to God. And I just looked up now. I'll get it up and I'll just read it to you, because it's come up a couple of times, this thing about honoring God. And because I've made the statement a few times that, you know, God is not the God of decrease. And there's nowhere in the Bible that you can show me that God's a God of decrease. And I know also it says in the scripture that God withholds no good thing to them that walk uprightly. When you look at other records, like if you obey the voice of the Lord your God, and you hearken diligently unto it, and you observe to do it, then these blessings will chase you down. It's when we're in the place of our hearts right with God, and we want to do what God wants us to do, and we're practicing the thing that God shows us to practice, then that heavenly flow stays there. God is not stopping anything from anyone. But what does stop the blessings is where we are in our heart and mind and our attitudes and how we approach God with these things and how we look at it. Are we listening to man's teachings on it? Is there all paradigms from what we were taught before about honoring God? Oh, you don't have to give money, you can give your time. Well, that's extra, isn't it? The time is extra. It's different from money. And God is saying substance. Honor the Lord with thy substance and the first fruits of all thy increase, the first fruits. And I was sharing with Ethel, even though I got this trip coming up to India and I could do with the extra money, I still honor God first. It's God first. When we honor God, he's there in that heavenly flow. We're showing God that, look, I trust you to supply my need, that you are my source in all things. And so it's a heart thing, it's a trust thing, it's a faith thing, that we're responding to the words and the encouragement that God has shown out and set for us, and that we're in agreement with him, even though in the senses realm, things might be different. But we keep ourselves in that flow and blessing. But I'll read it to you, because I think it's really good. So it says, but 2 Corinthians 9:6, it says, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly. So that word sparingly means stingily. It can mean stingily, right? Shall reap also stingily. No, minimal. Because of where the heart is. See, the liberal heart shall be made fat, says in the scriptures. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap with bountifully. That's not with amount. This word bountifully is basically the word that God spoke in Ephesians, where he says that he's blessed us with all spiritual blessings. It's eulogia. And it means with blessing. Right? It means with largeness. That the heart is large in the giving. Whatever that amount is, that whatever amount you give is with a largeness of heart. Father, this is for you. Just like Solomon. I can see Solomon with those 1,000 burnt offerings. You know, it was with a largeness of heart. There was no scarcity in the giving. When we're scarcity in our giving, there would be scarcity in our receiving. It's very simple. It's the law of sowing and reaping, giving and receiving. And it says, every man according as his purpose in his heart. God's working in your heart. And it says, so let him give. It's not in the text. It says, every man according as his purpose in his heart, not grudgingly. Don't do it grudgingly, resentfully, with sorrow. That word grudgingly means with sorrow. Oh, I got to give over money. Oh, I got to give from myself. Like, not that heart. Okay? Or of necessity, need. For God loveth a cheerful giver. This word cheerful can also be translated willingly, cheerful, merry, hilariously. Okay, so hilariously give. You know, we're not worried about what we're giving because we trust God that he's going to super abundantly bless us, which he does, supernaturally bless us, because he's the Father of lights. He's a God of abundance. He's a God of love. And God is not a God of decrease. So we shouldn't be staying at the same level or decreasing. Then we got to check our heart. And when I shared this with a couple of people I've shared it with, I took them to the book of Haggai. So the book of Haggai, we'll go there. I'll quickly go there. This is not my sharing, by the way. I just want to touch upon it because Ethel touched upon it. And I think it's very beneficial for all of us. So it says in Haggai chapter 1, in the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord. So this word that came was the words from God by the Spirit of God, by Haggai, the prophet, unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts. So this was the prophet speaking, right? Just like I'm speaking now, just like when you speak as well, when we open our mouth to speak for God. Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. They had a little excuse in their minds that not to build the house, the Lord's house. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, so God knew what was in their hearts, and this needed to be addressed because God wanted his house to be built. No different today. God wants his people to be prosperous. He wants them to be blessed. He wants them to be in strength in all areas. And it says, then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O you, to dwell in your sealed houses, your nice little houses, getting your own little things together, and this house I waste? Now therefore, saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. God is saying, look, seek ye first the kingdom of God. I can hear Jesus' voice in my mind. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all your needs shall be added unto you. God was getting them to consider what they were doing and why they were in the little predicament that they were. And first it says, you have sown much. So they sow much and bring in little. But that's not the law that God set up of seed time and harvest, giving and receiving. It says, you have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into bag with holes. You got money, but they go out, spunk it up, and that's it. They ain't got nothing. And it says, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. When things are not flowing in your finances or in any other area, consider your ways. Consider what you're doing, what you're thinking, what you're confessing, what you're saying. And then it says, go up to the mountain. So now God points out the error, the situation, but he's so loving. So he didn't tell him off. He was just pointing out what was going on. He says, consider your ways. He loves them. He's correcting them. He says, go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it. And I will be glorified, saith the Lord of hosts. He just wants to be first. God wants to be first, and he hasn't changed. He's the same God. The same God yesterday, today, and forever. It says, you looked for much. You wanted loads. You wanted an abundance. And lo, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because my house, that is waste, and you run every man to your own house. You're taking care of your own business. You're putting yourself first. If you just put me first, you'd have everything that you want. But my house is lying waste. And he said, God said, I blew upon that. I blew upon your abundance, your blessings. I blew upon it. Basically, when we look at that, God didn't really do nothing. They done it through their non-action, through their wrong focus. God, the heavenly flow had stopped because of where they were, not because of where God was. And through this, God was able to get their attention. You know, I've lived that life. I've lived the life where I was earning money, but at the end of the week, I had none. And I'm like, oh, I just earned loads of money. And what's happened? Because God wasn't first. It didn't sustain. It didn't last. I've lived that. But when God becomes first, then everything is sustained and the blessings. And I'm in that position to stay in that heavenly flow where the blessings are, where the direction is, where the vision is, where the abundance is, where the healing is, where the love and the strength. It says, therefore, because, you know, you've done these things, you took your eyes off me and put yourself first. Therefore, the heaven over you is stayed from dew and the earth is stayed from the fruit, from her fruit. And I called for a drought upon the land and upon the mountains and upon the corn and upon the new wine and upon the oil and upon that which the ground bringeth forth fruit and upon man and upon cattle and upon the labor of the hands. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Josadak, the high priest, with all the remnants of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the word of Haggai the prophet as the Lord their God has sent him. And the people did fear, reverence before God. I expect they feared too. Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. I love that. Our God is so loving. Our God is so kind. And just like I've always said, 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. How to believe rightly. Reproof when not believing rightly. Instructions back to believing rightly, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. That they're in that flow. So this God's word keeps us in the flow when we keep it in our heart and do it. It's just really beautiful. And God is so loving. And then it says, and the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, the spirit of Joshua, the son of Josadak, and the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people, and they came and did work in the house of the Lord their God in the 4th and 20th day of the 6th month in the 2nd year of Darius the king. So God showed them the error, showed them what they needed to do. He worked in the prophets, the leaders at that time, to get the people moving, and so that the heavenly flow could continue, the blessings could continue, that God's people could flourish. The witness, the manifested witness of is the blessings in your life, that God is at work. He doesn't want any of us to be on the low scale of the finances, or of the health, or of the fellowship, or of our life and living. He's a God of deliverance, and he wants everyone to grow and prosper in every area, not just finances. But we also know that the giving, that God gives seed to the sower, and he gives bread for your food, he'll always meet your basic need to live, but he gives the seed to sow. That honouring God, the seed to sow, the honouring God, lots of people eat. They go into that rather than sow it, where God can bless it and multiply it, not just in finances, but wherever the need is. And then he gives the abundance, he gives the blessings, everyone's happy. And then, so I'll give you another example of this. I think it's worth going to, and you may know these records off by heart and probably better than me. But I'm just doing this as God's working in me. God will always bring up the error. And he'll always show them what to do. And he's working with his people. If our kids are doing something wrong, we tell them, look, you're doing this wrong. We love them, so we want to show, look, you're going down the wrong road. Listen to me. And if they listen, then you can give them instruction. You tell them where they're going wrong, and you tell them what they need to do to get out of that situation. No different to a one-on-one when someone comes to me in a one-on-one. And they got an error. They got a situation going. It's just really, really, really important to understand these things and the heart of God and his great love for us. So in Malachi chapter 3, verse 9, verse 8, it says, will a man rob God? Let me go up a little bit, actually. Malachi 3, 6. I am the Lord. I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. The God of grace and love and mercy. Even from the days of your father, you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me in these things. This is what he's saying. And I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But you said, wherein shall we return? What have I got to do? Will a man rob God? God said by the mouth of his prophet. Yet you have robbed me. Straight, honest, straight speaking. Malachi speaking the word from Jehovah. He spoke thy word. And that's what a minister should do. Speak God's word to the people. So they got the direction. So they can move in the blessing. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you saying, where have we robbed thee? And God says, in tithe and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. See, it's not that God cursed them, it's that because they stopped that, then those things were there. The whole nation. So then God gives them the solution. Verse 10, bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. God wants you to prove him. If I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there should not be room enough to receive it. See, if you want the windows of heaven to be opened up unto you, then this is the key. This is what God's showing you to do in this area. And he says, and you do that, and I will also rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, your labourers, your fields, your people, your family, your friends. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. It comes to full fruition. I'll make sure it will. And all nations shall call you blessed. How can all nations call them blessed? Because they see the blessings of God. It's a witness. The manifestation of the blessing is a witness to the unbelieving world. Even if they're doing all right, there's something different about when God blesses us for some reason. For you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. And then he had another issue with them. He said, your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken so much against you? You have said, it's empty to serve God. And what's the profit? That we have kept his ordinances. What's the point in doing it? And that we walk mournfully before the Lord of hosts. And now we call the proud happy. See, the unbelievers are more happy than us. And we're doing all these things, or what's the point in doing them? Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. This is what the believers were saying. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. Then they that fear the Lord spake one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared, respected the Lord, and that thought upon his name. And they said, and they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts. In that day when I make up my jewels, I will spare them as a man spareth his son and serveth him. So the point is that God would always point out the error so that we don't stay in error, that we don't stay misapplying and then blaming God for it. God is a good God. He's always good. And he's a God of abundance. He's not the God of decrease. He's a God of increase. He'll increase you on every level where you're at. And as you continue to practice, he continues to increase. It's like you don't decline in wisdom, do you? You're increasing knowledge and wisdom and understanding as you apply and as you do and as you stay with God. When we kind of go our own way, we kind of get confused. No, God is not the God of confusion. So if you want to prosper financially, then give from your heart unto God. When I send my honoring God to my minister, I'm sending it to God. Someone's got to receive it. See, the same thing was happening in the book of Acts. Everyone was sending back to the church in Jerusalem. Paul was getting left out, right? But it was addressed. God addressed it. And so these guys, God wanted Paul's needs to be met and the believers with him. And then Paul would say and encourage, he would remind them to give. And he says, it's not that I desire a gift from you, but I desire fruit abound to your account. Paul knew that the state of the church when they gave would be prosperous. And at the same time, his need would be met. So, and Paul says, I've given you the spiritual things. Is it a wrong thing for me to share in your carnal things? It's all there. It's all about the heart. Some people like to have money and hold on to it. Ain't no good to you when you're dead. So you put your money to work for you. Right? God has given us wisdom with finance. He can give you great wisdom with finance. And he can just multiply it. Because you'll find there's only so much you need anyway, to be quite honest with you. And the rest is to move with God, How many houses can you live in? You can have 10 houses. How many can you live in? Well, it's collateral for a rainy day. How many kids you got? 2? and you've got 10 houses, well, I'll do it for them. Come on, let's get it right. Like, God can really do it in a way that you can really prosper successfully and leave inheritance for your children and your children's children. God wants us to prosper. We've got to get rid of the limited thinking. Limited thinking, limited giving, limited everything. And our God is an unlimited God. And he says, ask me, you know, and I will show you great and mighty things which you know if not. Now unto him that is able to exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. But there's got to be some action with what we're learning. It's not just knowledge. How much knowledge can you have? And then have nothing to show for it. I knew plenty of believers. Some have fallen asleep now. Wonderful people who had lots of knowledge. Knew the PFL books all the way through, inside and out. Could quote you all the Greek and Hebrew and or everything. And then you go down into their house and they're living in a slum. They're living a very basic need. That's not a glory to God. We're God's kids. We're a royal priesthood, man. We got the Spirit of God living in us. We need to raise our expectation. Some of you may agree with me right now, some of you don't. Do you think I'm worried? I know I'm speaking the words from God. And I know when we do this from the heart, we will, your benefit is for your blessing. So this, when that area is right, then everything flourishes and grows. And that example is lived out, and Carl Morton can vouch for it, Amber, Danny can vouch for it, Becky can vouch for it, Kim can vouch for it, Jason can vouch for it. It's lived out. What I've just said and how it plays out is actually living in India, living in Nepal. I knew the people when they're poor, and now they're way prosperous than me. You know, but I was stopping and starting. I was deviating all the time until God got me in the solid place. On holy ground, on the standing, you know, standing strong for him and being bold and helping God's people. I'm being the way and the manner I speak because I'm really serious about this because I know it works and I love everyone on there and I know there's paradigms that stop people from receiving it. Well, I've got my way. I've done this for my way for all these years. You've got to let go of your way, forsake your ways, you know. But you go to God with what I said. You ask, put it before the Father. Is this Lawrence full of crap or is he telling the truth? And then the only way you'll know is when you do it. And then you'll see the results. And that's the only way I knew. Like I've said hundreds of times on here now, when I went back to India, I made up my mind I was going to do exactly what I was encouraged to prove that these things were really from God. And I've proved it, you know, because of my obedience to my Father, to connect where he showed me to connect, and to practice with my heart these things. And so anyway, that's not my sharing. This was just something because Ethel sparked something in me. And I know this is a need for everyone. It's a need for everyone. You know, and money ain't everything, but it helps us in this life to be a blessing because we are blessed to be a blessing.
Hello, everyone. And God bless you all in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. And of course, Lawrence, you walk with God. I was sat here just as you were finishing up. And I said to Danny, I really hope your dad calls on us because that what he was sharing is set such a fire within my spirit. I feel so inspired and encouraged because I am a person who really enjoys to hear sharings when it comes to honoring God, sowing seed and anything really that's going to benefit us. And if we're obedient to practice what we're being encouraged, and we put it into practice, we all will see the results, we'll see the benefits, we'll see the rewards from what we're doing. We don't labor in vain. And so when it comes to honoring God, it is a massive subject. It is a massive subject. And those with a lack of understanding, they may, because of their lack of understanding, they may not know the whole benefit or the whole picture behind it. But that is why there are ministers, there are leaders who can encourage those fresh new people regarding this practice, regarding this law that God has set up, regarding this benefit that he's freely given us. And if we operate in his law, by his principles, then we're going to really prosper. We're going to really succeed. We're going to see great outreach, great growth. We're going to walk through wondrous open doors. Because as Lawrence shared, the windows of heaven will be pouring us out a blessing. And it's not just one blessing, it's a blessing after blessing. And yes, we don't seek after those blessings, but we know that they're there. But if we seek first God and seek first what he is desiring us to do, everything we need and more in abundance will be added to us. So when it comes to honoring God, it's a holy act. It is really a holy act. And we're doing it to honor our God of all the things. So he says, the only thing that pleases him is our faith. And what a way to show our faith when it comes to finances, because the world in what we're living in is trying to make people's finances tight. The world we're living in is trying to restrict and put boundaries on people. They're promoting fear about the economy and things like this. But really, we are children of God. We are far above the fear, the worry, the doubt, the unbelief. We are far above what this world tries to throw at us. And the way we stay there is by doing what God puts in our heart to do. Because God's given us everything to operate and benefit and to really live above the logic and the stuff that's going on in the world. So as the world is saying, there's a money crisis, or there's everything's going up, there's not enough of this, you know, us as children of God should be encouraging these people that God is the God of the universe. God created us for a plan and a purpose, and he won't have us begging bread. You know, he wants us to prosper. He wants us to be in health. He wants us to really tap into the inheritance that he's freely given us. It says we're heirs with God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. So everything that we're entitled to, we're allowed to have. But it's up to us if we want to receive what we're entitled to. But it's not just about us receiving what we're entitled to, but it's sharing it with others, sharing it with people. And if you have people come into your fellowship, if you're working with people individually, we shared this when we were in America, it's absolutely important that you teach people the way that is right to God. We teach people about sowing seed, honoring God, the benefit, the practice behind it, that is an act of worship. Yes, carnally, people look at the money, but spiritually, we look at God. Carnally, people are looking at what's in their bank or looking at tomorrow, but we don't look at what we can see. We don't focus on tomorrow. We live today, looking only to God, relying on him as our source, relinquishing everything to him, knowing that he is the one that has given us the power to get wealth, knowing it's him who has established our feet. He has blessed us with our jobs. Everything we have on this earth is truly God's. You know, we're just stewards of that, what God has given us. And if we steward it wisely, if we don't try and keep it for ourselves, and we are truly blessed to be that blessing, you know, from our heart, we don't just say, I'm blessed to be a blessing, but from our heart, we are really blessed to bless others, to give, to serve, to love, to encourage, and to walk in alignment and harmony with God's laws and principles. And God's laws and principles, you know, is seed, time, and harvest. Whatsoever you sow, you will reap. And that is negative or positive. My whole life, I was always told, you know, on the negative side, you'll karma, or if you do bad, you'll get bad. No one ever taught me or encouraged me God's way and God's side. God's way and God's side is positive, is energized, is good. And what's his way? His way is sow seed, you know. His way is honor him first. His way is to sow seeds of positiveness, or sow seeds that are going to increase us and let us continue to bear fruit. You know, if we're sowing negative words, if we're sowing having negative thoughts, if we're sowing stingily with our finances, if we're sowing none of our time, then how can we expect to receive? If you were a farmer, you would sow your crop. So say, I don't know, let's keep it simple, say it was carrots. I don't know, not carrots, say tomatoes. if you like sow like one tomato, you're just probably going to get like maybe 5 or 6 tomatoes from that seed. But if you sow into the soil 20, 30, 40 tomato seeds, you're going to get a great abundance of tomatoes. And God uses agriculture principles because that back in the day when he created the heavens and the earth, that's what was used in that day and time. And it, but it's the same today. From our pure heart, from our cheerful heart, if we give to God what is rightfully his, if we give to God, which is the best, not the last, not the leftovers, not the crumbs. He's our God. He's our dad. He saved us from death. He saved us from sin. He saved us from hell. Like, how much more do we want to give to him? Like, we're living a life now free with peace and abundance, joy, happiness, success. Everything we want, we can actually live and do. And God's letting us freely do it. But are we conditioning our lives by what we're thinking and what we're seeing? But our life should be conditioned by what God is putting in our heart from what we can read in the scriptures and the things God is inspiring us to do. And with the honoring God, for me, personally, I know it works. I have no need to ever stop. I don't ever want to stop. Like you shared, Ethel, my heart, I say to God, it needs to increase. You have to increase me so that I can increase and that I can continue being that blessing to others. Because it is a principle at the beginning. It is, if you look at it carnally, quite hard. You don't understand. But with the great sharings that we're hearing, with the boldness coming from our minister or coming from us to the people we're working with, through that boldness, it will cut through the unbelief, will tear off the veil from people's eyes, and it will bring a spark. It will bring life. It will bring joy, and it will bring excitement, you know, because it's not just about sowing our seed, but it's about having an expectation behind it. Every single day, waking up and expecting, you know, expecting from God, being excited every day you wake up and joyful. You know, knowing that you've sowed your seed, knowing that you've given faith, knowing you're worshiping your God, and now today you can wake up and really expect, really be excited, really be joyful, knowing that God has a mighty harvest for you, knowing that you are to walk in great abundance and great wisdom, great joy, having many open doors. I shared it last week, walking through doors that no man can close. Because we're walking in the supernatural, we're not walking in the physical. You know, we're walking by the spirit, we're not walking by the flesh. The flesh is dead, and we don't want to, Lawrence went to Corinthians, but we don't want to sow to the flesh. You know, we don't want to sow to the, we want to sow to the spirit. We want to sow to the spirit, and we want to reap spiritual things. And the way we do that is by going on a different level with our spiritual understanding. And sowing our seed is the priority. It's the right way thing to do. And it's the first thing to do. Really, I really believe in my heart that that is putting God first. Because if we can put God first in our finances, then we'll put him first in everything else. Because everything else is easy to put him first. But when it comes to the finances, bills arise, situations come up, people say something, unbelief comes in. Doubt may arise, but God says, no, be steadfast, be consistent, be faithful. It's a faithful man or a woman that will abound in blessings. It's the faithful person who's sowing that their seeds bountifully and consistently that will continuously reap a harvest, not just see a peak here and then drop here and then a peak again. But God wants us to be on that higher level of increase all the time, accelerating to the highest level obtainable, like never turning back, never looking back, never looking at our finances and thinking, oh, I need to do this or I need to keep this. But no, standing in faith that God, the creator of the heaven and the universe, has filled you with his spirit. He has given you wisdom, and that wisdom and understanding is to prosper you, is to benefit you, is to give you a good life, It's so then that you're able to share it with others so others can have a good life. There is so much poverty in this world. So much poverty in this world. You know, and people can come out of it very, very quickly and very easily. We see it in India and Nepal. You guys who are going to Nepal, you will see it. I went with Kim, and Britt was there also, and many other ladies. And we went to Nepal, and we met Krishna. And we were with him in his little hut home. And he was so humble. He was so meek. And there was people at his home fellowshipping. And we're looking around, and we're thinking, man, wow, like, people are poor, you know. And then to go back 10 years later and to see the increase, to see the growth, to see that not one of us were allowed to put our hands in our pocket. Everything was taken care of. Everything was provided for, not for just one person, but for every person on that trip, meals, hotels, transportation, everything. And nothing was hard. Nothing was an effort. Nothing was grudgingly. It was abundance after abundance. And I don't just mean financially. But I mean abundance with joy from the heart. So much joy. Kim shared it last week about the bangles with Jolty, you know. Like so much joy to just want to give. So much joy to just want to bless and to be around brothers and sisters in Christ. And I know I am not there yet. I know I am not in that position yet. So there's more that I, not that I need to do because I know it's on God, but there's more praying and desiring and expecting from God so that we're all in the position to do that. I don't want all that much, like loads of money in the bank and not be a liberal giver. You know, I really want to be a giver. If God gave so much by giving us his son to save our life and to redeem us from destruction, then what is our finances? Really, what is it? Because God won't have us begging bread. He won't have us suffering. He won't have us go without. There may be times when we're just a bit unsure, but we just keep looking to God. We keep trusting God. We don't let our faith waver, because that's it. When our faith wavers, we need to connect. We need to be connecting before it wavers. We need to be hearing the sound heavenly words. We need to be hearing the encouragement. We need to be keeping our faith built to the highest level so that we're not walking in fear or worried about our finances. Or if a news report comes on the TV saying there's a financial crash, that it don't shake people or worry people because they think they're going to lose things. No way, no way. You're a child of God. You're not losing anything. Nobody can take anything from you. You know, you stand strong in the liberty where Christ has made you free. And that freedom comes by you freely from your heart wanting to give everything you have to God because he's given everything he had to us. And it's not a law, it's not tradition, it's not doctrines of men, it's God's laws, it's God's principles. And if we abide by his laws and his principles, we will see a mighty harvest, we will see mighty abundance, we will see mighty outreach, we will see our areas, our countries being eradicated from poverty, we will see our countries prospering where the governments are thinking it's crashing. No, it's prospering. And we've got a witness of it. We've got India and Nepal, that they say are some of the poorest countries in the world. Lies. That is lies. that they are not the poorest countries in the world anymore. From the carnal eye, they may look like that. But God's people are flourishing and growing and prospering more so than the Western world. Like, you know, and that's a living witness. So all you guys who are going there, you're going to see it. You're going to see it, and it's going to inspire your faith. It's going to encourage you. It's going to show you that God's way is higher than our way. It's going to show all of us, like it did with me, that when we fully trust God, when we really look to him and not just think we're looking to him, but really look to him and trust him, all grace continues to abound towards us. We won't lack in any area. We won't be needy for anything. Everything will just be handed to us. You know, there'll be so many things handed to us that we have to give it away because we won't have room enough to hold it and receive it. And it's not about materialistic things. Our Lord and Savior has gone away, you know, and many mansions are being prepared for us. I have my mansion in heaven. It's all good. But God wants us to really flourish and grow. He wants us to be a witness. He wants us to shed light on his truth. He wants us to annihilate the lies that are circling in this world and to penetrate it with truth. And it's the truth that sets people free. And if people really want to be free in their finances, if people really want to be free to travel and do the things they want to do, you have to be able to give and consistently. Don't stop. You know, even if 1 month you think is lower or whatever, or there's a doubt or an unbelief or a bill, my encouragement is don't stop. Me and Danny did this for years. We were so 1 minute, not the next. So 1 minute, not the next. But when God in 2020 spoke to me and Danny and told us that this was the time now that we were to turn around and move for him and live our life unto him, when we learned about the honoring God, it was the first thing, and still to today, that gives me and Danny such joy, such excitement to know that we're able to do it. You know, we're not working for ourselves, you know, we're working because everything we do is God's, and he's blessed our hands. And if you endeavor to be a steward of what God has for you and God's given you, he is going to entrust you with much. If you don't hold on to your riches and your wealth and you sow it liberally to God with faith and expectation, you're going to really see a great harvest. You're going to see mighty, mighty things come to pass because it's God's law. No one can break it. It's like gravity. You know, nobody can break God's law, only those who can beat flight, you know? But we physically can't. I live in an apartment. If I jumped off my balcony, I'm going to be going down. I don't have a flying device. And it's the same with God's law with seed time and harvest. And I'm learning more and more and more over the last 4.5 years. Thanks be to God for Lawrence and Kim, for their wonderful ministry, for their boldness, for their loving a way that they work with all of us to really keep us on that right track. Like, I know Lawrence. I know Lawrence very, very well. I know him. Yeah, he is a wonderful man, you know, and his heart has always and will always be to keep all of us in the right heavenly flow for us all to prosper and succeed. He will exalt all of us above himself all the time, you know, and it's not that it's him, it's because he's letting God work in him. So if he's sharing with you individually or with me individually, sow your seeds, sow more, be more consistent or whatever else, or in any area, you know, let's really make a decision that we're going to listen and we're going to do it. You know, we have to believe that what we're receiving through our ears is fact, and we're going to move with it. So Lawrence, really, like, thank you, and thank you for this fellowship. Thank you for starting that. I know Ethel started with you. It just got me so excited. And I'm sorry if half of you missed all of this because I spoke so quickly. But I was so excited because even an hour fellowship on a Tuesday, it is discussed a lot. It is discussed a lot. And it will always be discussed. It will always be spoken about as God leads and inspires, because it really benefits people. I don't want anyone in my fellowship begging bread or being in poverty or struggling. And I know that's for Lawrence's heart. So if it means God's going to work in me to share it every time and it, or in a different way, then so be it. Because God's heart is for his people to prosper. And the way that they prosper is by sowing their seed and being blessed to be that blessing. So that was in my heart to share.